For those of you who don't know Pastor Jay, he has been a friend of the House of Prayer, and he is an instrument to guide us as an apostolic man of God. So, give him a clap offering.
Thank you. I feel the presence of the Lord here tonight, and we give him praise and thanksgiving, though the world has gone over the tipping point, yet God is raising up his people with a closer intimacy with him, a higher level of relationship, and we might see the panoramic view of what God's doing in this hour. There is really the church within the church, and those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, God is lifting them up in a higher level of relationship. So I want to encourage you to continue to press in. I brought along a few things, which I'll just put on this chair. You're free to take one if you want to leave an offering, you can. Got a good book here on How to Find God's Love by Don Norai. He owns Destiny Image Printing. And I brought along some cassettes here, Types and Shadows. This person was a student of Brother Taylor's years ago, and he's got songs in here about like Isaac, Bethany, Abraham, Gideon, and Brother Taylor, who was my father in the Lord for 44 years. He went to be with the Lord almost 13 months ago now. But we keep his website going called Perusia. And I would urge you to look at the website. It's wadetaylor.org. Wadetaylor.org. There's morning and evening devotions under Deeper Life articles. Tremendous. So we're keeping that going because what God gave him was for time and eternity. And I brought along some books here. Okay. You can take any of this stuff. You want to leave a love offering, all right? If not, just take it. It's called Gateways to Growth and Maturity by Penny Smith. It's from the Book of Esther. And she shows many pathways, gateways, to coming into more of an intimacy with the Lord. She was a proofreader for Brother Taylor's books he wrote. And this woman now is nearly 80 herself. She just came back from Kenya. And she's got a real insight into the Word. I think you might find something good in there. Three things this evening. I want to talk to you about current events. And then I want to talk to you about Passover. We'll read some scripture out of Exodus. And the third thing, we're going to talk a little bit about Holy Week, about Palm Sunday, and what took place on Holy Week. And this is the week that we're in. We're living in various serious times now. And the Lord has called us to be salt and to be light. And we need to press into God that he can make us very salty, and that we can be a reflection of his personage, that we can be like him, that we could have his fragrance upon us, that wherever we go, we need to know that we have the victory through Christ Jesus. And we need to be very pronounced in our society and be willing to speak up and share something on behalf of the Lord. And we need to pray that the eyes of our understanding would be open. And if your eyes of understanding in the Spirit are open, God then can help you to be more willing and more available to him. Lord, open my eyes of understanding of the kingdom and where I'm at now, so that I can be more willing and more available to you. We are living in a day of power. And it's necessary for all of us to move beyond the limitations of our faith and ability. If we're truthful, we all have limitation in our faith and in our ability. Mm-hmm. But God, open my eyes of my understanding and bring me beyond the limitations of my faith. Give me a gift of faith. And bring me beyond the limitation of my abilities, that I can move in realms that I never thought were possible. And we need to come closer to the Lord so that we can break free of limiting hindrances in our life. We all have things that limit us in what we could be. Today, you hear all about they don't have to cut your breastplate and open you up so much now. They can run something up and put a stent in your heart.
Yes.
They can even make just a little tiny slit and go in there and change a valve even. And there's so much emphasis on that. First, the natural and the spirit. What God wants to do is get the spiritual clotting that's within us out so that he can move within us.
Amen.
There's spiritual cholesterol that's filled up in all of us. And God wants to bring us beyond our limitations, you know, so we can function and we can flow on a higher level. It's necessary, absolutely necessary, because America has gone over the tipping point. This is the first time we've had a sitting president who said the biblical definition of marriage is not right. Mm-hmm. And this is a year when many believers are saying we need to stand for life like never before. When I was a boy, the town drunk would tell you that abortion was murder. Now we have clergymen defending it.
Yes.
And then we have another movement on, and that is the LTG couples. Lesbian?
Transgender.
Yes. LTG. That's the terminology. Instead of spelling it out, they just say LTG. Couples should be free to do as they want. They should be married in the eyes of the law. And yet, it's going against what God would say. And there's a couple verses that I'd like us just to look at. What year is it? Somebody know?
What year is this?
Yeah. 2013? Is it 2013? Okay. Let's look up Exodus 2013.
All right.
Stuff is moving so fast, it's easy to be in the last century, and we're here. And technology-wise, I'm in the last century, you know what I'm saying? What does 2013 say in Exodus? You shall not murder. And I believe that that's an emphasis that God has this year for Christians to stand up for life. Stand up for the most vulnerable, the unborn, and for the elderly, of which I could be one in a few years. Because you can see the trend of Obamacare. You see the trend, what's happening. And it's 2013, you said? Okay, let's look up Leviticus 2013. Leviticus 2013. If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination.
Wow.
They shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be put upon them. This morning began the trial in the Supreme Court of the United States.
Yes.
Do you see whether Proposition 8 in California, which said the definition of a marriage is between a man and a woman, and under President Clinton, there was a law that was signed in the Federal Marriage Act that a man and a woman is a definition of marriage, and determined what determines how this court case goes will say whether this country still stands in that or says it's open for all kinds of interpretation. So 2013, I believe we're at a warfare. We're in a battle now for life and also for marriage. And when a country makes these kinds of decisions and the way we've gone over the tipping point. And how many here are living in America?
Yeah.
If America's over the tipping point, guess we're there too. But what God wants to do with us is raise us up with light, with salt. Our understanding be opened, that we can go beyond our limitations and our ability, that even though society may be going one direction, that we can still live victorious. What God is doing is preparing a company of overcomers. And to become an overcomer, you have to have things to overcome. We could go around this room and we would all be in tears if you told all the heartache you've had and maybe still do. Is that true? We've all got heartaches. We've all had problems. We've got hindrances. And yet if we, by God's grace, can get over these, we can become what? An overcomer.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
We can become an overcomer. And what God's doing is raising up a company of overcomers. the governor of New York State, Governor Cuomo, if you heard of him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay. He had, in his State of the Union address on January 9th of this year, he vowed to fight for the passage of the Radical Reproduction Health Act. And here's what it is. To create a fundamental right for unlimited abortion on demand through all 9 months of pregnancy.
Oh, my
Jesus.
God.
Number two, that these abortions can be done by non-doctors, even trained nurses. Number three, and to allow late-term abortions to be performed in outpatient clinics, and to compel all medical facilities in New York State, even religious hospitals, to perform abortions. We have a battle on our hands, brethren. We have a battle on our hands. And maybe you or I can't go to Washington or Albany or somewhere and debate things, but we can pray.
Amen.
And when we're out in society, we can talk among people who make up comments and stories, and even among our family. Jesus said, I come to bring a sword.
Amen.
And if we're going to stand for a biblical Christianity, if this is the basis of our faith and conduct, it may cost us even some relationships. But you know what? If we stand for the truth, some people are going to come and ask, what is the hope that lieth within you? What is it that makes you be able to stand? And we can share with them, we have a relationship with a living Lord. A living Lord. Oh, Lord, have your way in us. And so I want to just encourage you to be very pronounced in society. Know the battle. You know, very often the church is back in 1950 or 60 or 70, and here we are in 2000, what was it? 13, okay. I'm going to get that. And society has changed. The America that I knew as a young person is not here anymore.
Amen.
It's not even here in Kansas. Mm-mm. It's not anywhere. It's changed. And so our young people are so getting caught up with all these philosophies, what's happening in school and what's being taught in the media and everything. Oh, Lord, we're going to pray for our children. We're going to pray for our family. We're going to pray, oh, God, for this city. We're going to pray for a sovereign gift of repentance. Lord, grant one for this part of Massachusetts, we pray. Lord, push back the hindering things. Lord, give an open heaven. Lord, use this body of believers here, oh God, to be very pronounced in their daily life. Lord, cause this to be a place where people will file down the stairs to come in, that this room would be packed, we pray, Lord. That people would be so hungry, they want to come and hear a word from the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there was only a few gathered in the upper room, but it wasn't long, and there was hundreds and thousands who were added to them. And hallelujah, you may be only a few, but God could add many to you in a quick hurry. I want to urge you to keep praying. Turn to your neighbor and say, you know what? You could make a difference if you were willing to be different. If you are willing to be different. Lord, open up the eyes of my understanding. Help me to be different than I am today. I want to be flexible in your hand and respond to the pursuit of my heart that you have, Lord. Come and work in me. Do a new thing in me. Give me new paradigms of thought, of action, oh God. Bring me to where I've only hoped for or read about in books. But Lord, I want to come experientially to that. I want to be so pleasing to you, Lord, that, Lord, you could come and manifest yourself in my life. Lord, do something marvelous, I pray. Do something marvelous in this body of believers as it meets here, Lord. Lord, even renew their understanding that they might see how important they are, Lord. They're down in the basement. They're down in the foundation. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, God, may this group be a foundation for something you're building in this area, we pray, Lord. Yes, Lord, raise up something mighty, Lord. And let this be part of the foundation, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 12.
That was last year.
Yes. Yes. Exodus 12, now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, now the Israelites had been in Egypt for 400 years doing back-breaking work. Mm-hmm. They had been abused. And God came down and spoke to Moses and said, I've heard their cry. I've heard their prayers unto me. And I have come down to bring deliverance to them. That sounded good. But then he said, and I'm going to send you. That's when the story changed. And Moses had several excuses, but it didn't eliminate him. He still had to go.
Amen.
And God still used him.
Amen.
All right. And he said, I want you to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go so that they can serve me. I think we need to have that prayer even today. Let my grandson go. Let my nephew go. Let my neighbor go that he can serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And God sent 10 plagues. And you remember Pharaoh sent a word out that the eldest, male child should be thrown in a river. And the God's last plague was this, that he's going to send an angel of death, that crops were going to be dealt with, annihilated, that the firstborn of the livestock and all the families of the Egyptians was going to be put to death. What you sow, you reap. Pharaoh had sowed something, and he was reaping it back in spades. And finally, Pharaoh was broken. And he told the Israelites and Moses, go. And he actually pursued him to go and gave him gold and silver and riches to go with. And God wants to bring everyone out of bondage. We could all give our testimonies tonight how we've come out. I used to smoke and chew tobacco. Maybe one of you ladies would say that, I hope not. But God has brought you out. If we're down Tennessee, that would be a testimony.
Yeah.
God has brought us out. We've come out of things. Is that right?
Amen. Amen.
But you know what? God wants to take us further out.
Amen.
Amen.
He wants to be thoroughly washed and cleansed and set free, not only from sins, but from weights and from hindrances and limitations. Bring me out, Lord. Say it with me. Bring me out, Lord. Bring me out, Lord. I want to come out.
I want to come out.
Hallelujah. And they were delivered for a purpose, for a new beginning.
Yeah.
Amen.
And if God had brought you out, it's for a new beginning.
Amen.
Oh, glory. This thing you could preach is going on here. This is good. Chapter 12. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Turn to your neighbor and say, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It wasn't January 1st. Here we are. All right? This is the year or the month of Nisan, like Nissan cars.
Yeah.
In the Jewish calendar. Okay? This is the first month of the year to you. Here we are. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of the month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. Say, a lamb for his household.
A lamb for his household.
And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. When we give something to the Lord, it should be without blemish.
Mm-hmm.
When we're taking clothes down to the city mission, we don't take the ones with the bump, with the paint stains on and the buttons off and the zippers don't work. We take something good.
Amen.
Come on, yeah.
All right? And it should be a male the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the twilight. Can you imagine bringing a lamb home, in your home, with your children, the grandchildren, on the 10th day, and keeping it there for 4 days? Kids got attached, everybody got attached, and then take it out and sacrifice it. Well, that seems harsh, doesn't it? But you know why it was? God was saying this: forgiveness will always cost.
Wow.
Redemption will always cost. Do you find it hard to forgive somebody?
Mm-hmm.
You will. But it will always cost you, but it's worth it.
Amen.
Your friend get down in jail and you got to pay bail to get him out, will it cost you?
Yep.
Redemption always costs.
Mm-hmm.
And God wanted to show the people that what he was going to do for them cost him. And how many know tonight when the Savior died on the cross and shed his blood, it cost him dearly. That we could be forgiven, that we could come out of bondage. Oh, thank you, Lord. I must be forever grateful. And they shall take some of the blood, and they shall put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they eat. Listen, brethren. You can rely on the blood of Jesus for protection. You can rely on the blood of Jesus for protection. Would you look up for me 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 and 19 and read it to me? I'd like to hear that verse. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19.
1 Peter
1, 18 and 19. She's the one that knows the date, so I got to
keep her out of her boat.
Okay.
18 and 19. And the voice which came from the heaven we heard when we were with him. Am I reading? Oh, I'm in 2. I'm sorry.
That's a good verse, too, but we love
it.
That's not the Rhema verse for now.
For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with comparable things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
This was pointing forth to what would be provided for us in Christ.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
The precious blood. Say the precious blood.
Precious.
Oh, the precious blood. Say it. The precious blood of Jesus. The precious blood of Jesus that was shed on my behalf. The precious blood that will never lose its power. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for that. And I can rely on the blood of Jesus for protection. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. And they shall eat the flesh on that night, roast in fire, with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Parsley, horseradish, matzah. Do not eat it raw, nor boil it at all with water, but roast in the fire, its head with its legs and entrails. And you shall let none of the remain until the morning, and what remains of it until morning shall be burnt in the fire. When Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for you and me, the Bible said he buried our sins in the deepest sea to remember no more. They were thrown behind his back. He remembers them no more. So when the lamb, you partake of the lamb, hallelujah, the rest should be burnt. Your sins were taken away from you, never to be seen again. Ah, glory. Oh, there's some things in my life I'm glad I never have to see.
Amen.
How about you? I never got to look at them again.
Come on.
Never got to experience them again.
Amen.
I'm glad there's some things nobody else knows about, but I do. I'm glad I don't have to see them again.
But you're learning to forget?
Yeah. And that's good. You know, God is not only a good forgiver, write this down, he's a good forgetter.
Amen.
He's a good forgiver and a good forgetter.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This sermon is going to get good. Praise God. Hallelujah. You shall not let none of it remain until morning, and what remains in until morning you shall burn with the fire, and thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand.
Amen.
So you shall eat it with haste. It is the Lord's Passover. In other words, eat it and be ready to travel.
Amen.
I want to tell you, are you saved tonight? You need to be ready to travel.
Amen.
Because when you're saved, God wants to get you on the move.
Amen.
He's got work for you to do. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, these reverends that are in this room, we reverends can't do it all. Hallelujah. God needs everybody, man, woman, child, anybody who knows Jesus needs to be enlisted in the Salvation Army. Hallelujah. Is that right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both men and beasts, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The false gods of Egypt are going to be dealt with tonight. Big
tonight.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Tonight. They're going to be dealt with.
Tonight.
Yes. And now the blood shall be a sign for you on the house where you are. And when I see the blood, say when Jesus, when God sees the blood.
When God sees the blood.
I'll pass over you.
Woo-hoo.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll pass over you.
Jesus.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All other ground is sinking sand. Hallelujah. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Thank you, Lord. So this day shall be for you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast of the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by the everlasting ordinance. So Passover is a feast of the Lord. It's not a feast of the Jews. It's a feast of the Lord. And Jews and Christians, anybody who knows the Lord, should keep Passover. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And this was pointing forth to Christ and what he would do for us. Redemption, redeem us, justify us, and sanctify us. And redeem us and justify it just as if we hadn't sinned. And sanctify it. Set us apart from the world and apart unto God. You find as you're growing in as a Christian that you're feeling more and more separated from the world. You're in the world but not of it. And don't you feel the nearness of Jesus more? Hallelujah. Thank you. So Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah of God, is our Passover lamb. And, you know, and the Jewish eyes were blinded because he came unto his own and they received him not. But you know what God is doing now? He's beginning to open up the eyes of Jewish people. They're beginning to respond. And what God has said is that you Christians are to provoke them to righteousness.
Amen.
A brother I knew recently had testifying how broke he was and all the difficulties he's going through, and my reply is, you're not going to provoke any Jews to righteousness for the testimony you're broke. That's not going to provoke any Jews to get right with God. But God wants us to prosper in body, soul, finance, prosper, have a victorious, overcoming life. That even Jewish people who are unsaved will look at us and say, wow, what's going on in that life?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. What's going on in that life? So Lord, have your way. And you know, when the Lord does save us, he puts us in motion. There's a progression. There's a maturing in all of us. No matter how old you live to be, God has more for you.
Amen.
To mature because he's conforming us to the very image of Jesus. I made a couple notes here. Celebrating of Passover. We're celebrating going from slavery to freedom.
Amen.
Passing over. Hallelujah. On the eve of their departure, Passover began. And God passed over, or he protected the Israelites during that night as they prepared to begin their journey into freedom. If you're saved tonight, you've begun a journey of freedom. Hey, he set me free. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say, I'm free.
I'm free.
Hallelujah, I'm free.
Woo-hoo.
You ought to get up in your house sometime and just say, I'm free. Glory to God. Say, glory to God.
Glory.
I'm free. Hallelujah. It's also good to get your veins working. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise God. It's good for your health. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know what? Passover, simply put, is very much like America. Because Passover is about freedom, and America began all about what? Freedom.
Freedom.
Passover is a journey from oppression to opportunity.
Amen.
Oppressed to opportunity. You see, when we were under sin, it was... we were oppressed, but now it's opportunity. Every day is a new day with God.
Yeah.
It's a new day. Say it's a new day.
It's a new day.
Glory. Lead me in the path of uprightness, O Lord. Hallelujah. This sermon's helping me. I'm feeling better. Hallelujah. Yesterday we had a Seder meal at our church. We had about 125, 30 people, and there was a lot of Messianic Jews there, and as well as Gentiles, we had a wonderful thing. A Seder means order. So the Passover dinner is for everyone who's there at the dinner to experience the move that was described in the book of Exodus. When Jewish people come and they have Passover, many times they invite Christians even to come, or neighbors to come, so that together we can experience this experience of what God did. This is his feast, his festival. We need to rejoice and be thankful how he brought them out. Hallelujah. So Passover, and this we're in Passover tonight, beginning, right? It's a time for Jewish people and for all of us to have hope. Say hope.
Oh.
To have triumph.
Triumph.
Hallelujah. And to have new possibilities of life. You know what? This is a new year. This is Passover. Man, this could spring us in. Get out on a diving board of faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See what God might have for you. And freedom to become. Oh, and it doesn't make whether you're 30 years old, 70 years old, or 15. You can still become more than you are.
Amen.
No matter how much you can hear God, you can hear God better.
Amen.
No matter how much you trust God, you can trust him better.
Yes, you can.
Thank you, Lord. And you know what? That the Exodus, the Passover, was on the mind of our founding fathers of this nation. Did you know that? On the seal of the United States is Moses extending his hand over the Red Sea and raise of light are coming down out of the clouds, symbolizing he was doing this under the direct command of God.
Hallelujah.
Our founding fathers, isn't that something? Wow. And you know the pilgrims who came on the Mayflower, the eastern end of your state, you know who their hero was? It was Moses. And they felt as though they were fleeing the Pharaoh of King James.
Yeah.
Woo!
Wow.
And you know what? We in this church, we may in a few years say we're fleeing the Pharaoh of the president. Hallelujah. Lord, have it your way. So Passover reminds us and all people that when you're between a rock and a hard place, there's a possibility for redemption. There's a possibility for release, for freedom. How many of you are between a rock and hard place? If you aren't, you will be in a week or a month. I mean, is that right? Man, there's a lot of rocks around and a lot of hard places.
Yes, there are.
And I always seem to get between them. But hallelujah, there's a possibility for redemption, release, freedom to become. Hallelujah. You know what? I lift a few weights now and then. You know what weights do for you? Resistance, they build
muscle.
Strength. Yeah, so rocks and hard places, difficulties are God's design that we can build strength in the spirit. We can have greater faith in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I back in Albany, this was many years ago, there was a couple, they had a little baby, and the baby had all kinds of problems. They put her in an oxygen tank. You know, this was back in like in the early 60s. And this Afro-American mother, grandmother, about 7 years old, she come in. She walked right over. She opened up that tent.
Come on.
And picked up that baby. And the nurse came running. You can't do that. She said, it's my granddaughter.
Come on. Yes, you can.
And she got in a rocking chair and she just rocked and just prayed, shouted out. That kid is still alive today.
All right. Come on.
And you know what Grandma said? Grandma said, you doctors and nurses, you've done your best, but it wasn't good enough. I had to call on the great physician.
Amen.
She said, what did I have to lose when they said my granddaughter was dying, but for me to go and hold her and rock her and cry unto my God?
Amen.
I'll tell you, we may have to get radical sometimes. How many know that?
Oh, yeah.
So the eternal promise of Passover is to call on God for release from your bondage. And you can, wow. Maybe some of you are here today in bondage of credit. You got two credit cards, and you got an education loan, and you owe money for whatever, and you don't know how you're going to get out. Are you in bondage? The borrower is a servant of the
lender.
And sometimes we so willingly, here, oh, give me the pen. I'll sign myself into bondage. Where do I sign here? I don't even need my glasses. Just show me. Point. And we willingly put ourselves in bondage. Say out your amen on this one, but I'll tell you what. The next time any of you feel like you want to sign for anything, and you're ready to do it, throw the pen away.
That'll work.
All right. Because this country is going over, and I believe Christians need to get free as much as possible.
Debt.
And if we're in debt, we're in bondage, you got to cry unto God. God, I don't know how am I ever going to get out of this. But Lord, from now on, I'm going to be a good steward while you give me. I will pay my tithes.
Amen.
And I will pay my bills on time, every time. And I'm going to ask you, Lord, to help me get out of this predicament that I'm in. And you know what? If you honestly do that, you know what God will do? He'll bring you out.
Yes, amen.
Because God is still bringing people out of bondage.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's new possibilities in God.
Amen.
Some of you probably say, well, that's too good to be true. Well, that's why it is true. It's so good. It's good. It's wonderful. Whoa. All right. Now part three. We'll go on to Palm Sunday. Is that all right? We'll skip on ahead. Let's turn to Luke chapter 19. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Did you know that about Palm Sunday is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? And if it's told four times, it must have some importance to it. Luke 19, verse 28-44. When he had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near Bethpage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent of his two disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt that's tied up, on which no man had ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone says to you, why are you loosening it?
Oh, God, you're so good.
Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. Say it. Because the Lord has need of it. Say it. Because the Lord has need of it. Wow. God has need of us. How many know that? Some of us are tied up. We need to get loose. Is that right? Hallelujah. I have a pastor friend of mine, he's in from Nepal, and he says, I'm a donkey. I'm a donkey. All I want to do is let him ride on me, and we'll ride into Jerusalem or anywhere he wants to go. Hallelujah. I'm willing to serve my Lord. Hallelujah. I want to be a donkey. Praise God. So those who went their way and found it just as he said to them. See, he had a word of knowledge. But as they were loosening the colt, the owner said to him, "Why are you loosening the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of him." You know what? In Hopewell, Virginia, there's a church, a pastor friend of mine, Pastor Charles. He's got a woman that gets $300 and some a month Social Security. She's old and she's poor. And what she says is, "Pastor, now don't bother your head with any of these mission requests to come in here. Don't you bother yourself with them at all. You just give them to me." You know what? That woman with $300 and some a month sends containers around the world.
Wow.
She'll go right down to a lumber company and say, "You know, we got to build an orphanage in India. And they need lumber, and they need metal, and they need screws to hold it on and everything. And you've got it, and they ain't got it. Now, I need some of that because we're going to send it to India." And then people say, "Well, we don't give it." We say, "Well, I know that, but this is an exception." This is an exception right now that you can get in on this. And someday the Lord will say, "Thank you for helping to build that orphanage. So I'd like you to just give me that." And she won't hardly leave. And do you know what?
They give it to you.
She gets stuff. And she fills containers up. Then she gets a whole shipping company. Says, "Now I ain't got no money. I got all this whole container. We got to get it over there." But God has put an anointing on her.
Mm-hmm.
But this verse got into her. The Lord has need of it.
Yeah.
The Lord has need of it. Wow.
Wow.
You never know. You know, one little verse, if we ever got a hold of even one verse,
yeah,
what it could do for us.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Muir, who took care of thousands of children in England, you know, pure religion and undefiled, is visiting the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. That verse got in him. It got in him so deep that he took care of thousands of orphans in England. Ah, he got so full of compassion. Do you know what compassion is? Is when your troubles are in my heart, then I have compassion.
Mm.
Ooh, think about that.
Yeah.
Compassion. Jesus moved with compassion. Your troubles were in his heart. How many know that pastors today and lay people need more compassion?
Amen.
Well, I'll pray about that. I really will. Come on. Let's get some compassion in our heart and do something about it. I mean, really do something about it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Where was I now? 2013, right?
Yes.
And Luke. Yeah, what? Do you know what verse it was?
44.
Okay, as I get older, I'm going to need...
You said that.
34. 34. Listen, as I get older, I'm going to need somebody like you to kind of help me, all right?
You're not getting older.
All right. And they said, "The Lord has need of him." Then they brought him to Jesus, and they drew their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on it. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, oh, I've been there. Save your money and go to Israel at least once. It's not only what you see, it's what you experience. I'm going back again, Lord willing, this November with an Orthodox rabbi. And we're going to spend the whole 9 days again in Jerusalem with just Orthodox rabbis. I was there last year. 9 days in Jerusalem with Orthodox rabbis. Many had never talked to a pastor. And we sat down, talked about the Messiah coming. They asked questions about the New Testament. We just had marvelous times. Oh, it was wonderful. Hallelujah. And you know what? Jewish people around the world are finding out the only friends they have is not America, not Britain, it's evangelical Christians.
Right.
And you know what? They can't get away from the love that's being shown to them.
That's right.
And my Orthodox rabbi, there's a couple of the pastors and I, we've really gotten to be great friends. And a while ago he said, "You know, we made an arrangement when we were going to get together and talk that we weren't going to try to proselyte each other. But," he says, "every time you men come to this office, do you know who comes with you?" We said, "Who?" "Yeshua." Because that's who you men are.
Uh-huh.
And I know he's here with us. That's an Orthodox rabbi saying that.
Wow.
And the only thing we have done with him in 3 years is love him. And he said that, the only thing you men have done is love me. And we Jews want to be loved. And you know what? I want to be loved. In fact, I think everybody wants to be loved.
Amen.
You know what? We don't always have to debate people. If we can just love people,
Amen.
God can do his work.
Yes,
because love creates an atmosphere that softens hearts,
yes.
That God can do a work. You're getting a lot of nuggets here tonight. If you write these down, this is good. Then, as he was now drawing near the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace on earth and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you, if they should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out."
Amen.
This was his final time coming into Jerusalem. This was on the Sunday before the crucifixion and the resurrection that was going to happen. This was the final time, and if people weren't praising him, the rocks would cry out. Now as he drew near, he saw the city. And he wept. He wept. "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Oh, Jerusalem, if you'd only been open, I'd have been like a mother hen collecting the chicks underneath my wings. You'd have been safe. But you did not know the hour of your visitation." I want to tell you, if God is ever moving on your heart, it may be a visitation from God. Don't pass it up.
Amen.
There's a man I've been ministering to lately. He's a Christian, been a Christian 25, 30 years, and the last few years he's gotten involved in all kinds of sexual perversion. And I've been working with him, hallelujah, and trying to show him the love of God and telling them that I believe this is your time of visitation because we're talking. This just didn't happen. And today he called me, and this is wonderful. He called me and said, "Pastor Jay, the Lord has spoken to me, and I've started a 21-day fast of just water. And for the next 21 days, I'm going to just lay before God and ask God to root this thing out of me. And to cleanse me and bring me back to where I ought to be." Isn't that wonderful? You pray for the man. All right. You pray for the man. Hallelujah. Please pray for that man. Mark. Pray for him. And then so pray for him because it's a time of visitation for him. Though it's sad he's been involved in all this stuff for a number of years as a believer, yet I believe that there's a visitation that God would bring him out.
Amen.
Forgive him of all the sins and
Amen.
Cleanse him and yet use his life where his life could be turned around helping for people caught in that web.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. "For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you, surrounding you and close you in every side and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they shall not leave in you one stone upon another because you will not know the time of your visitation." I've been to Israel and I've seen some of the huge stones that were yet left from the temple that are all in disarray because it was gold between the stones, and the Romans pried them apart, took the gold out and toppled. And this scripture literally happened. It was tore down stone by stone. It was destroyed in 70 A.D. I want to tell you, there's so many things that are just so wonderful in Scripture. You know what, 500 years before this, Zechariah said, the king will come riding on a colt with your salvation. 500 years later, here it is now, Palm Sunday. I tell you, whatever God said, it will happen.
In Jesus.
It may take longer than you think, but it will happen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So Palm Sunday, we yesterday celebrated the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem the week before his crucifixion and resurrection. It was the beginning of Holy Week that we're in. Holy Week and Passover, wonderful. The crowds were waving palm branches. Zechariah, 500 years before, had prophesied, your king with salvation will come riding on a colt. And here it is, it's happening. And that same crowd, 5 days later, that were saying, Hosanna, save us now. 5 days later, they were crying out, crucify him. Yeah. See, they were looking for a deliverer. They were looking for some kind of an army general that would free them from the Romans. He did not come in the form or the shape that they were looking for, so they rejected him. I want to tell you, God can come and come in a different form and shape than we're used to. Remember the fishermen were out in the Galilee? Peter says, Jesus, is that you? Is that you walking on the water? God, his heart was saying, as I love you so much, if that is you, bid me to come and I'll come.
Yeah.
And he walked on the word. But when he looked at the water, he began to sink. And you know, sometimes we're hard on Peter for that, but you know what? He's the only one to get out of the boat.
Amen.
Amen.
And you know what? If you're going to get out of the boat of the church sometimes, people are going to look at you. But sometimes you have to get out of the boat.
Yes, you do.
Because tell your neighbor, you can make a difference.
You can make a difference.
If you're willing to be different.
If you're willing to be different.
So here was Jesus making a public claim to be their Messiah, but the people wanted a deliverer. Listen to me. Yeshua Jesus, the Messiah, came not to conquer by force, as earthly kings do, but he came by love and grace and mercy. And his own sacrifice.
Amen.
We can share with people. Will you respond to God's grace and his love and his mercy? He was your sacrifice. Will you respond? Will you open up your heart? And we can say to anyone out of the book of Ecclesiastes that God has put eternity in everybody's heart. Everyone knows there's an eternity. Will you respond from the grace that God has given you to his love and to his mercy? He's knocking at the door. Will you respond? It's opportunity time for you. It's time of your visitation. And he came in lowliness and he came in servanthood. And you know what? He conquers not nations, but he conquers hearts and minds. I'm glad that August 1st, 1962, he conquered my heart.
Amen.
And since then, he's been conquering my mind. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Over 50 years, Lord. Hallelujah. Following you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Completely, Lord, take over my heart and my mind and everything. That I might be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. That I might be a vessel fit for your use, Lord. A vessel of honor that brings glory to you. Have your way, Lord. And tonight, you know, if you're resisting and there's hard things in your life, just say, Lord, conquer my heart. Conquer my mind. Sometimes Christians can't go any further. Their hearts are godly, but their heads. You know why? We can have godly hearts and Egyptian heads. Because we went to Egyptian schools, did we not? And we look at the Egyptian TV and the Egyptian newspapers, you know, and ABC and NBC and CBS, Egyptian news broadcasts, is that right? We don't get on enough of the good news, hallelujah.
Yeah.
But, oh, God, conquer this mind of mine as well as my heart. I want to lay down these things that I think I know, these vain philosophies I've been taught. Renew my mind by the washing of the word, Lord.
Yes,
Lord, brainwash me.
Amen.
I need it. Hallelujah. And you know what? He conquers hearts and minds with the message of peace with God. Whew. Wow. Thank you, Lord. And I pray that the Lord might see the King living and reigning in your heart and in my heart. I pray that our neighbors, our friends, and our family can look at us and say, the King Jesus is living and reigning in that life. You name Mother Teresa, you don't hear people talking against Mother Teresa. Everybody knows about Mother Teresa and how she cared for all them orphans in Calcutta. Because the Lord was reigning in her heart and ruling in her life. And she was doing what others would not do. She was changing the diaper of a little child, and somebody was there visiting said, what can you do with the 14 million starving, hungry people in Calcutta? She looks up and says, I can make all the difference for this little boy. I'm not the answer for all this, but I can be the answer for this one. And you and I are limited in scope and ability, circumstances to some extent, but we can make all the difference within our arena of life, can we not? Yeah. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Get that one down, and another one get up. Jesus loves me, this I know. Well, get that one in you. Some of those simplest things, if we could get them in, it would set us free. Is that right? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. So we talked about current events, and we got to be salty. We got to have light. It's later than when we first believed. We need to be the chlorine in the water. We need to be the salt in the spaghetti sauce. Hallelujah. We need to be holding the flashlight in this dark world. Arise and shine. Isaiah 60, for thy light has come. The glory has come upon you. So we can be pronounced. Maybe we can't be in the Congress or Supreme Court, but we can make a difference in this city or community where we live, or this housing complex where we live. We can make a difference. Amen. Hallelujah. And we talked about Passover. Oh, Lord, when I'm between a rock and a hard place, there's hope for redemption and deliverance and freedom, and I can come out of it. And I'll come out better than I went in it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo-hoo. Thank Amen. You, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. I'm not what I was, not what I shall be, but I'm progressively growing and maturing and becoming. I'm apprehending yes. that for which he apprehended me and yes. laying a hold of that you, for which he laid a hold of me.
Thank you.
And then this is Holy Week. Can I talk to you just a little bit about Holy Week and then praise God? You may want to read Luke 19, 20, 21, 22, and just see what took place during Holy Week. There was the entrance, the temple was cleansed. There was the parable of the vineyard. There was a question about the tribute to Caesar. In fact, let me give you a chronological outline. On Sunday, he arrived in Bethany, and in the evening, on Saturday, he arrived in Bethany, and in the evening had supper, and on Sunday was a triumphant entrance. And we just read that, and he weeps over Jerusalem. He came proclaiming himself as the Messiah one last time. And on Monday, the fig tree is withered, and he cleanses the temple one more time. My temple is called a house of prayer for all nations. And you know, when God begins to move even more in this fellowship right here, you need to be open for people who are going to be all so different. In fact, some of you are different.
They already qualified.
But see, I can make a difference if I'm willing to be different. All right. And so on Tuesday, that was a busy day. That was his last day in the temple. His authority was challenged by the Sanhedrin. He gave the parable of the two sons, the parable of the vineyard, the parable of the marriage feast, about tribute to Caesar. It was a question given to him on that day about the resurrection, whether so much had happened on that day. He was asked, which of these is the greatest commandment? And he also observed the widow's mite that day. It's not how much we give, but it's in proportion to what our ability is.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know what? We had a woman in our church. We picked her up for 25 years. Emma Carey. She never had a bathroom. She had an outhouse. Lived very simply. But you know what? And her fingers were all like this. But she crocheted a Last Supper. She didn't know anything about theology. But she crocheted a Last Supper and gave it. And in the hall of our church is a crocheted Last Supper. Is it not? We got it framed in the church. Because that was the widow's mite. She'd done what she could. Didn't have money, couldn't sing, couldn't teach, but she could crochet.
Amen.
Wow. Old Emmy, wonderful woman. And on the Mount of Olives, he gave his a great discourse. Talked about the destruction of Jerusalem and his coming. The parable of the 10 virgins and the talents. And it was on that day that possibly Judas bargained with the priest. The one who carried the bag, who was pilfering out of the bag. The one he'd been with for 3 years and knew him intimately, bargained. The love of money is the root. And then when he came, when Jesus was in the garden, he kissed him. And Jesus said, "You betray me with a kiss?" I tell a lot of young ladies, there's a lot of young men around who will betray you for a kiss. On Wednesday, that was Tuesday, and on Wednesday was the day of quiet in Bethany. But on Thursday evening was the Last Supper. And at the Last Supper, he instituted communion. Wow. And then when we take communion, you know, take it not as masta, not as juice, but take it as the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. Take it that you might receive an impartation of strength and of life. And you know what? You can take communion daily even. You can take it at home. You can take it other times. It's good to remember the Lord. And it was on that night that he really had you and I on his mind, and we were in a sense there on his mind. Real sense he's here with us tonight. How many know that?
Amen.
And then he took a towel and a basin and washed their feet. One last time he wanted to tell them, if you're going to be a leader, if you're going to be a teacher, if you're going to influence people, you're going to have to be a servant.
Mm-hmm.
A servant. Preacher, you got to be a servant. A deacon has got a deek.
Amen.
Right? Just can't have the title. Lord help us. And it was a night of agony. Agony in the garden. Could you men not pray with me 1 hour? We still have that same problem, don't we, sometimes? That's why it's good to play a little music in the background or a CD or something, because helps you to pray and be in the atmosphere sometimes, because our mind wanders off to Price Chopper and Walmarts and Uncle Eddie and all these things, you know. The vacuum cleaner belt that's broke.
Amen.
But the agony, and he sweat so capillary, broken his forehead and dripped out. And I believe that was for the mental anguish that we all go through. Man, there is mental anguish sometimes, is it not? I've been all over the world. I've been on 56 mission trips. And you know what? Sometimes they'll tell you in Africa, you have the watch, but we have the time.
Wow.
You know, here, I find as a pastor now, if I want to go visit a person, I have to call generally and make an appointment. Because if I just pop in more times than not, I can just tell they wished I wasn't there.
Wow.
But in Africa, you can go to any grass hut and sit down and talk as long as you want to talk, and they're glad to have you. We have the watch, but they have the time. And on Friday was a trial in the crucifixion. I like to watch those movies, you know, the Jesus film. And what was the one, other one that was in the movie theater, 3, 4, 5?
Passion. Huh? Passion of the Christ.
Passion of the Christ. And some people felt it was overdone. No, it wasn't overdone. That was how it was done.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And did you notice the thieves on the cross? The one who mocked Jesus, this bird came and plucked his eyes out, which indicated he lost his sight and his insight. But one of them said, when you get to paradise, remember me.
Yeah.
He said, this day, you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't have time to get baptized, go to Sunday school, buy a King James Bible, join the church. The only thing he did, he recognized who the Messiah was and what the Messiah was doing. He knew he was a sinner and that he was dying for him. This day. And there was a Roman centurion that had 50 soldiers under his command, and for a living he would take a hammer and rusty nails and drive them through a man's feet and a man's head. That's a tough man. That's beyond the motorcycle boys. That's a tough man. Mm-hmm. And what did he say? Truly, this was the Son of God. Because men scream, holler, swear. But this man. Whew. I pray that we can live in such a way that neighbors and friends will say, this person, he's a true Christian. You know why the world is turned off by the church? Been a lot of talk and not too much living. Born again, dead again. Come on, let's just be born again and live triumphantly the rest of our life and ascend the mountain of the Lord and become all that he wants me to be. You know, when I get done with a sermon and go home, I'm going to have to pray. I preach myself under conviction. I don't know if I have you. Oh, dear. Dear Jesus. See, you got to live out where you speak, you know.
Amen.
And they buried him. Saturday he was in the grave, and Sunday, whoa, he is not here. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Go and tell the disciples and Peter. Wasn't that wonderful? Peter, who had denied the Lord, who felt so bad over it. Go and tell him. He's not here. He's risen just like he said he would. Boy, what a gift to Peter that was.
Amen.
And that's why Peter could go on for another 25 years and write the two epistles. And the last words we have is 2 Peter 3:18. Finally, brethren, I've got this thing figured out. Do you have it figured out? He said, I got this figured out. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, his grace. And the knowledge of him. Not about him, but the knowledge of him. Oh, I've experienced him. Friend of mine in Jamaica. I'm going to Jamaica Monday. Pray for me. I'll be going 5 days. There's a bishop down there. I've been to Jamaica over 30 times. We've built churches and that. And this man I work with, he got a huge work across the island, Reverend B.T. Williams. And we've been friends for 30-some years. And he's in his 80s now, so we're going to go down there and decide how this ministry is going to go on when the Lord takes him. We're going to make some decisions. But one day we're driving in the car, neither one of us are talking. He's driving along and he looks over and says, Pastor Jay, I can feel you. I mean, that's friendship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to talk. Mm-hmm. Just be in each other's presence. Ah, my heart's aglow. I can feel it. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. That's a gift to have someone say that. Praise God. Hallelujah. But he rose from the dead and he ever lives to make intercession for us. Isn't that wonderful? Good. Well, let me pray. Maybe I have a word for a couple of you. And it's been so good to be with you tonight. Love you. Thank you. Appreciate y'all. Yeah, like they say in Jamaica, keep sweet. All right, all you, keep sweet, all right?